appreciate that. You know, this time of year, a lot of minds and hearts are on the resurrection of Christ. Hopefully it's on the resurrection of Christ and not chocolate bunnies and colored eggs. I'm going to stay away from that. But the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful event that must have been. To see our Lord. There, you know, there are some that witnessed His death. Witnessed Him hanging on the cross. And witnessed everything that He had to endure. And they'd be placed into a tomb. You know, I'd like to think that I would have the faith to know that He said that He would rise the third day. But brethren, I'd probably be like everybody else. All hope is lost. My mind shattered. My courage gone, taken away from me. My Savior is dead. But He didn't stay there. He arose. As we sang that song, He lives. He lives today. And He's reigning in heaven. But because we know that we serve a risen Savior, we don't just serve some idol. We don't just serve some dead God. We serve a risen Savior. He is alive and reigning today. So, I put forth the question to you this morning. Because we serve a risen Savior, what a wonderful thing that is. Do we know our Savior lives? Are we risen with Christ? Are we? Next question. If we are we acting like it? Are we living like it? Will somebody be able to say about you, about your life? You know, that's my prayer. I know it may be selfish, but I pray that somebody would say about me, there goes a godly man. I want to live that way. A lot of times, a lot of my life thus far has not been that way. And that's to my shame. But the question is, are we risen with Christ? If you would look at Colossians chapter 3, Paul would say, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If ye then be risen with Christ. It's not a question whether we're a child of God. If we feel His love upon us, if we feel convicted of our sins, if we have that burning in our heart that I have sinned against God, if we have that conviction, brother, we are a child of God. Amen. We are. And don't take that lightly. We're a child of the King of Kings. What a well-favored place and position that is. Let's be thankful that we are counted amongst the children of God. Now that's the eternal standpoint. That's what Christ accomplished on the cross. He came and died, gave His life and took our sins away and bridged that gap in between. So now we have fellowship with God again. But what about this life? Are we living like that this life? Are we trying our hardest to live like we're risen with Christ? So, Paul would say, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, that place of favor. You know, when He had accomplished the work, when He finished what He came to do, and He ascended back to His Father, He was set down at the right hand of God, in His proper place, in the place of favor. He's there forever to make intercession for us, as long as this world is around. Aren't you thankful we have a friend in the court? Amen. Every sin that we commit from thus far now, every time we do something wrong, we have a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. have a friend there to say, Father, I died for him. He's one of mine. I'm thankful for that. I want to be thankful for it every day. Sometimes I get lost. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I just get too busy. I need to stop. I need to be doing this. I need to be seeking those things which are above. And living my life like I am risen with Christ. So, verse 2, he said, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with loving your family. There's nothing wrong with liking certain things. There's nothing wrong with having hobbies. But, brethren, we need to be setting our affection. Our affection. That's not plural. It's affection. Whole heart. We need to be setting it on things above. The thing is, if we want to love our family, if we want to love each other, if we want to love this church family better, we need to learn to love God more. The closer we are to Him, the closer we're going to get to one another. Amen. The closer you are to God, the better father, the better mother, the better brother, the better sister, the better child, the better church member, and a better follower of Christ will be. But brethren, we need to be setting our affection, our whole affection, our whole life needs to be dedicated to serving God. Paul would go on to talk about in verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. You know, we also sang that song, there is coming a day. Brother, what a wonderful day that'll be when our Lord and Savior comes back, splits the skies and comes back, and we'll meet Him in the air, and there forever we'll be with the Lord. That's a wonderful day. But again, that's a day that is coming. We can enjoy the fellowship now. We can have as much as we want of Him now. No, I can't look upon His face because of my sinful frame that I still own right now. But brethren, in my heart, in my spirit, can rejoice in me. I can have fellowship with Christ now. As long as I am setting my affections above, looking to Jesus. So Paul would also say, verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inappropriate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience. We don't want to be among the children of disobedience. Like I said, we're a child of the King. We need to be living like it. We need to be mortifying. We need to be putting these things off. He says, in the which, verse 7, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. You know, if you ever needed a do and a don't list, well, we're on the don'ts right now. So he says, but now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Don't you just hate it when somebody lies to you? I can't stand that. I hate it when somebody lies to me. You know, I'd rather them just tell me straight up that they're not going to do something than lie to me and find out later they had no intention of doing it. He would say, lie not to one another. We're not to be doing this. We're a child of God. You know, Christ, when He was living on this world, on this earth, He is our wonderful, great example of how to live. Now, yes, He was God with us. He was God, verily God and verily man. I'm never going to reach that kind of perfection. But brethren, that's my mark. That's what I need to be striving for. That's what I can try to go to. That's my great example. So we don't need to be putting on, you know, we need to put off all these things and lie not to one another. Verse 10, and have put on the new man. which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on that new man, the new man that Christ has blessed us with, the Holy Spirit that dwells within me. Let's be new. Let's renew our mind. Let's read his word, study his word, see what we need to be doing so we can act accordingly and live as if we're risen with Christ. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. That's the family of God. We're all in one. There is no Greek, no Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. We're all the family of God. We need to be acting like it. 12, put on therefore as the elect of God. Now listen, read this. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. We've already established the fact we're the elect of God. He chose us. We're the family. We're the children of God. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow. I've got to forgive people, but God, he's wronged me. How much has God forgiven me? How much has Christ forgiven me? We have to think about that. So what if somebody has wronged you? Now, I'm not saying it made it right. But God's going to take care of that. That's not up to us to get back. And that's probably one of the biggest things that I got in trouble for. Me and my brother Tim got in trouble for in our younger years. Is getting back at one another. You know, he did something to me, so I'm going to get back at him, you know. And mom and daddy was trying to teach us. That's not up to us. If someone's wrong, we need to forgive. Forgive one another. We need to have that love showing from one to another. And it says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if a man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Like I said, sometimes that's a tough one to deal with. So you mean serving God, being in God's kingdom, there's going to be struggles? Oh, yes. There's a reason it's called pressing into the kingdom. There's going to be some opposition, especially the opposition from this old sin nature. I don't want to forgive people. That's my sin nature. When somebody wrongs me, boy, I want to get them back. Somebody cuts me off in traffic, ooh, it puts me in a bad mood. That's probably one of my weakest points right there, behind the wheel of a vehicle. But we have to remember, everything, all of my sin nature, every sin that has ever been committed and going to be committed, Christ forgave on the cross. What did he forgive? All. So, brethren, we need to, somebody does wrong, not happy about it. Now, I'm not saying you can't be unhappy about it, but just let it go. God will take care of that. The Lord will take care of you. And I have had examples in my life where that has been so. And I have also had examples in my life where I didn't listen and I didn't do what I was supposed to and it didn't turn out good for me. Let's let God handle it. Let's let the Lord take care of it. Let's forgive one another. Having that love for one another. So, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against you, if even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity. Don't you love that word, charity? Now, the world nowadays likes to use, especially the newer translations of the Bible or whatever, they want to change charity. They want to throw it out and put love. Well, that word love is good. We like the word love, but the word charity holds more meaning. Charity is love in action. I like to use the example, if I were to tell my wife every single day of our married life that I loved her, but yet I never did anything to show that love, she would have reason to doubt. So we need to have charity. Put on bowels of mercy. Have charity. Have love in action. Not just saying, brother, I love you and hope you feel better. No, see what we can do for one another. Having that love, wanting to extend it to one another. And that's the best thing about love. If you want more love in your life, give more of it away. That's one of those things that if you have a lot of love, give it away. You're never going to run out. God's never going to run out of love. His love for us is, I can't even fathom it. Can you believe the love He has? John 3:16 tells us of God's love. For God so loved the world that what? He gave. And what did He give? Did He just give us some good helpful hints? Did He just give us His word? No, He gave His only beloved Son. I love y'all, but I wouldn't give Kendra up for anybody. That's my only child. I wouldn't give her for anybody. But God so loved the world. He loved His people so much that He gave His only begotten Son. What manner of love is that? Brethren, we need to be having that love shown in our life. If our families need strengthening, if our churches need strengthening, this country needs strengthening, what better way to strengthen our lives than with the love of God? Now, I hear a lot of love being talked in the world. There's a difference between love and acceptance. There's things going on in this world that are just not right. They're not right at all. They're contrary to the Word of God. We need to have love for one another, but in the right way. Like I said, there's a difference between love and acceptance. There's some things that we just don't need to accept. Some things that we just don't need to let go. There's that line drawn in the sand. I'm going to remain faithful to God. That verse, yea, all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Yea, all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Sometimes the persecution may come from a family member, may come from a best friend. Because if we're trying to live godly and they're trying to live contrary to that, we may have to suffer some persecution for that. We may have to suffer some breaking ways. We may have to lose a good friend. Hopefully not. But we want to remain faithful to God. God is always faithful to us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We need to stay strong and be faithful to Him. Showing love one to another. Having that charity. Having that love in action. For one another, strengthening our families, our homes, especially in the church. That's the wonderful thing about the church of God. Christ came and He set up the church because we need it. We need to have this time of fellowship one to another. We need to have this love for one another. So we're never having that feeling alone. Always somebody there. We know that Christ and God is never going to leave us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But what a blessing it is to have a family, a church family that loves each other. That you can walk through those doors and feel right at home. And just walk up, strike hands, hug a neck and say, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. Because we're one family. We're all the family of God. And we need to have that love for one another. Verse 14 says, above all, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To the which Also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. You know, last weekend I was talking about being thankful. And brethren, we have so much to be thankful for. There is so much to be thankful for. It doesn't really matter what you're going through, what situation you're going through, what situations you're facing, whatever your life is, there's still something to be thankful for.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to belittle anybody's problems. I know some people have to suffer greatly in this life. Every life, every breath they take is a struggle. I don't want, like I said, I don't want to belittle any of that. But still, even in that, we still have something to be thankful for. The blessings that God bestows upon us. Of the greatest blessing of sending His Son to die upon the cross to take away our sins. That one day, all the troubles of this life will be wiped away. We'll awaken His presence, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that enough? Like I said, there's something to be thankful for. But in verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful." Brethren, if we're allowing the peace of God to rule in our heart, if we have more peace in our life, that peace of God, knowing that God is going to take care of us, knowing that He loves us, knowing that I'm a child of the King, I'm an heir to the kingdom, and knowing all of these things, having that peace of God ruling in our heart, brethren, that aspect will be more thankful.
Absolutely.
We'll know of more things to be thankful for. We'll recognize blessings more. We'll see those blessings of God. We'll see the hand of God working in our lives, and we'll be more thankful.
Amen.
And we need to be thankful for the blessings that God sends our way. When's the last time we thank the Lord for the air that we breathe? Now, I know this is kind of a bad time of year to be saying that, and all the pollen and everything. But anyway, even with all the pollen and everything, it's still breathable air. You know, there's some places on this planet that it's not some good air quality. What about this water that we drink? You know, we can go to the tap and drink it straight from there. I've been to some places where you don't drink the water.
Right.
It'll kill you. How thankful are we? Or have we gone to sleep in this comfortable nation that we live in? You know, I highly recommend going to a third world country. At least for a little while, just to see the condition some people have to live in. Come back and we'll be more thankful for what we have. Be more thankful for everything that we're blessed with. So anyway, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you're also called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's one of the reasons we come and we sing in our part of our worship service. We sing praises to His name. All glory to Him. But He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, not sparsely, not sparingly, no, richly. Let's read this word. Let's study this word. Let's make it a part of our daily routine to crack this Bible open or, you know, flip it on, scroll. But let's read His word. It'll help us in our day-to-day life. You know, I've heard the example. In this book, it does not tell you how to change a tire. It does not tell you how to take lug nuts off and do all this kind of stuff, how to change a tire. But brethren, it does tell us what kind of mindset we need to be in while we're on the side of the road changing the tire.
Amen.
And being thankful that you have a spare tire. There's always something to be thankful for. This book is inexhaustible. The Word of God is timeless. You know, some people say, well, the Word of God is just, it's just out of date. We need to upgrade it again. No. There's nothing that needs to be upgrading. Aren't you thankful? We don't have to sit there and wait for another upgraded download. Brother, we have everything now. We have everything right here. And like I said, it's inexhaustible. There's more knowledge in here than Google could ever think of. Brethren, we have it. We have it readily available. How much are we availing ourselves to it? Like I said earlier, are we risen with Christ? Are we living our lives as we're risen with Christ? Are we reading His Word? Are we following His Word? So, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And again, it says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. You know, the more grace that you have bestowed upon you, the more thankful you are to God, the more of God's Word you're reading, the more you're understanding, the more you're longing to hear His Word, you're better be able to sit down and you're in better mindset to sit and sing praises to His name because you're more thankful for what He has done for you. You're more thankful. Your heart is breaking because of the sin. Lord, forgive me. I need a Savior. I am in need of a Savior. And like we've said this morning, He's a risen Savior. So thanks be unto God, I have a risen Savior. So I need to be trying to live my life like I am risen with Christ. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So whatever I'm doing, I need to be doing it for the Lord. And if there's something that you're doing that, well, I don't want to give it to the Lord. Well, maybe there's something we don't need to be doing. Whatever we do, we need to be doing it to the Lord. And skip on down to verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. That's the thing. We need to be doing, you know, our daily tasks, our jobs. We need to be doing it as we're doing it for the Lord. How much better are you willing to work for a boss or an employer that's good to you? That's a wonderful person that takes care of you, that understands what you need, is willing to listen. You know, it's easier to work for somebody like that, isn't it? Well, how much better is God? How much better is God? He knows every need we have even before we ask for it. So we need to be doing and living our life as if we're living for Him. You know, if we conduct ourselves, if we're living for Him, each and every day, no matter what I'm doing, my daily task, my daily grind or whatever, I'm doing it for the Lord. I have a higher purpose to work for. Put wind in your sails. Helps you throughout the day. And if you're doing it heartily to the Lord will be with you. And He will bless you and help you throughout the day. Real quick, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk worthy? Vocation? What is he talking about? Well, like we were talking about when we started, are we risen with Christ? Are we a child of the King? Are we one of His? We need to be walking like we are. We need to be showing in our lives that we're one of His. We want to be identified with Christ. We want to be identified with Him. You know, it's funny, when I've done some of my travelings, whatever, and I'm up north, some people from up north, as soon as I open my mouth, they identify me as a Southerner. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody identified you as a child of God? Or if they said, he's a God-fearing man. We need to be identifying with Christ. We need to be walking worthy of vocation where we are called. Now, Paul would also go on to say, with all lowliness, meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Huh. Sounds like we've heard that one before already. You know, if there's something repeated in the Word of God, stop. Listen. Read it. It's there for a reason. There's nothing haphazard in this Word. There's no filler. It's in there for a reason. So, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Again, having that love for one another. Trying to show our love for one another. Before I go any further, let's see, John 13. Maybe one of these days I'll have all this memorized. I doubt it, but thankfully I have the Word of God with me. John 13, 34. Yeah, John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you. This is Christ speaking. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. There seems to be a pattern here. We need to be showing that love for one to another. But Christ says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Again, we need to want to be identifying with Christ. We want to have that. We want people to see that and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Not me. Not me. Glorify Him. It's because of Him is the way I act. We're into letting our light shine, being a shining light to those that are in the darkness. So back in Ephesians chapter 4, let's go to verse 21. All the stuff we've read thus far, we need to be low in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, and daring to keep the peace and unity of spirit and bond of peace. Verse 21, if so be that ye have heard Him, that is Christ, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Again, sounds like we've heard this before already. We need to be putting off the old ways. We've learned of Christ. If you know Him, if you've heard His Word, if you're reading His Word, there's things I need to do. There's things I need to change. So put off the old man and put on the new. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. Again, we hate lying. Let's lie no more. Let's speak truth one to another. That's part of loving. If you love someone, you're not going to lie to them. You've got to tell them the truth. Verse 26, here's the toughie. Y'all ready for this one? Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. I hadn't got that one yet. I'm still working. I'm still working on it. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Brethren, let's not take it with us.
Right.
If we're angry. That's the thing about if you're angry at somebody else. If somebody's wronged you and you just eat up inside and just angry at them. What good is it doing to them? You're not doing them any harm. But you're putting some stress on yourself. It's more weight than we have to carry. We don't need to be carrying it. That's the whole thing about forgiveness. Letting it go. Giving it to the Lord. He can handle it. If we carry too much on us, we won't be able to handle it. It'll drag us down. It'll bog us down in this life. Give it to Him. Giving it to the Lord. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let it go. We don't need it in our life. We have too much to worry with. I have this old sin nature to deal with. I've got enough to deal with. We have the devil, our adversary, going out seeking whom he may devour. We have him to deal with. He gets on my case all the time. I have enough on my plate for letting anybody else out here to add to it. Give it to the Lord. Let's learn to forgive. Let's learn to let it go. In verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Like I said, the devil's on my case a lot. And especially when I'm trying to live right. When I'm trying to live a godly life, that's when he's going to be on my case the most. But brethren, we need to resist him. But it says, neither give place to the devil. I heard that example one time. The devil's like that old snarling bulldog that's on a chain. As long as you stay out of the length of that chain, you're fine. But you go dabbling and getting a little closer where he can reach you, he's got you. Neither give place to the devil. Don't let him in. Don't give him a chance. Let's resist. Now, he's still going to fling those fiery darts. But if we read in Ephesians chapter 6, we read about the armor of God. God has given us help for those fiery darts. He's given us armor to use. Now, it's not physical metal armor that we have to put on every single day. But brethren, it's armor. And it will help. But the biggest thing about that is you have to put it on. You have to put it on. It's not going to do you any good sitting at home. That's one of the reasons we need to be reading His Word, studying His Word, making it a daily priority. This is our daily bread. When He says, give us this day our daily bread, this is what He's talking about. We need it. We need His Word. We need it in our lives. So, neither give place to the devil. And he would say, let him that stole steal no more. You know, all these things that we're doing wrong, don't do them anymore. Don't do them anymore. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We need to be building people up. We need to be like Barnabas. You know how Paul would speak about Barnabas. He was a load lifter. He was profitable for him. He was a helper. We need to be a Barnabas to someone else. We need to be a load lifter, helping one another. We need to have that love to one another. But that charity, like I said, love in action. Seeing what we can do. Seeing how we can be of help to someone else. So let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Oh, and one thing about let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Remember, there's always somebody watching. I've got a little one coming up. I've got to watch it. I've got to watch what I say when I get cut off in traffic now. I've got to watch things that happen in my life. I need to make sure that she sees me living right so she can see that example. I need to be a good example. We all need to be good examples. We all need to be living as if we're risen with Christ. He's done all the hard work. Let's work for Him. Let's work in His kingdom. Let's labor in His vineyards. So let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying. We need to be edifying one another, helping one another, speaking to one in spiritual songs and hymns, speaking of those things which are good, helping one another. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day. You know what he's talking about when he's talking about that sealed unto this day? That Holy Spirit within us, that's our seal. That's how we know that he's coming back for us. That's the earnest of our hope that is within us, that we know. It's our down payment, if you will. Christ gave us his Holy Spirit. That's where I know he's coming back for me. So, grieve not the Holy Spirit. It's there to help us. Let's not do the wrong things and grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's think of things that are good and things that are righteous, things that are holy, seeking those things which are above. So, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Like I said earlier about all these things about being angry at somebody or bitter towards someone, that's not doing them any good. You're not hurting them one bit, but it's hurting us. It's hurting you. It's more weight than we need. So let's let it go. Give it away. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There it is again, that's forgiveness. It must be very important for it to be a recurring theme in the Word of God, loving one another, forbearing one another from love, being long-suffering one another, forgiving one another. It's very important, but it's very lacking in this day and age. You know, especially the world will teach you, you need to get up, you need to one-up somebody. You know, somebody does you wrong, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, that's how we should live, right? No. That's not how we are. We're a child of the King. We're better than that. Now, that's not to say to get ourselves puffed up and stick our thumbs in our lapels and say, well, I'm a child of the King. That kind of attitude is going to drive people away. No. Remember how he started Ephesians 4, verse 2, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, one good point. Don't think of meekness as weakness. Lord didn't tell us to be weak. We're to be strong in the Lord. We're to be strong and holding faithful to His Word. Real quick, in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll close with this. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Brethren, our work, our labor, our things that we do are pressing into the kingdom, trying to live a godly life, seeking those things which are above, not on things of the earth, putting away all these bitterness and anger and all this kind of stuff, all the things that we have to do in this life to live a godly life. Brethren, he says, your labor is not in vain. It's not in vain. It's important. It's needed. And he will help you. He will help us. He will be with us. So therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to be that way. As identifying with Christ, as being risen with Him, we need to live accordingly. We need to live like He lived on earth. But remember, meekness is not weakness. We're strong in the Lord, not in our own strength, but in the power of His might. I hope and pray that the Lord will be with you. I hope and pray that our lives will be strengthened, our families will be strengthened with the love we have one to another. But brother, we need to be living as if we are risen with Christ. Thank you for your kind attention. May the Lord bless you.